Hi, I'm Neil Slade here with Julia Liu and Sky Wise, and we're going to provide a little commentary to this section of the DVD. Yeah, while Urfi's pulling something out there. And all of the paintings in this section of the DVD are numbered, so they'll correspond with the text in the book. So you can put this on and pause at any time, and we'll be providing a little background to each of these paintings. This section of the video is about 70 minutes long. You can always, of course, use your fast-forward button or speed it up. And you can pause it and take an intermission at any time. So anyway, we'll go ahead and start. You're looking right now at the cover to Creativity from Another Dimension. We'll talk about this particular painting a little later. So why don't you say hi, Julia?
Hi.
And then Sky Wise, artist extraordinaire and musician.
Hi, Neil.
This is the roses at what, Forest Edge, or it's painting number two.
That's the roses at the edge of the wood.
Ah, that's right. So, you know, I have to mention that all of these paintings are not all the same size. So this one is about
12 by 16.
12 by 16. So some of the smaller paintings will actually appear bigger than some of the larger paintings in this. But this is oil on canvas, right?
Yeah.
Right. Someone also commissioned a large version of this too, didn't they?
Yeah, Victoria, the local resident. She saw my painting in the coffee shop, the ice cream.
Ice cream
store.
Shop.
Yeah.
Now here we're looking at Crossing Infinity Bridge, also oil on canvas. Feel free to butt in at any time, Sky, incidentally.
This is one of my favorite paintings.
Yeah, I like it too.
It is, yeah.
This is it. The Denver Botanic Gardens, one of the bridges that Julie's doing a series of botanic garden paintings right now, and this is one of them.
I like
Neil
the contrast,
took that picture
too.
For me. Yeah, I was walking crossing the bridge. What is it called? Infinite Bridge.
Well, we call it Pooh Bridge also, but since this is Creativity from Another Dimension, Infinity Bridge is a little more.
Now this painting looks like it's almost viewed from a rain-spattered window. You see the drops at the top.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
It really is kind of mysterious in a way.
This is a small painting, too. What is this, about 12 by 14?
No, it's 8.5 by 11.
Is this on glass?
It's on the acetate.
On acetate.
Yeah.
So people don't know. Tell them what acetate is.
Acetate is a kind of plastic. It's a thin layer, look like glass. But it's stronger than glass. They never break.
And you like to use use all kinds of mediums. You paint on different surfaces.
I experiment with different things. Because I like glass better, but glass is easy to break, so I try different things to substitute glass. This on canvas, oil on canvas, this semi-abstract.
Now you do the one thing that ties a lot of these paintings together is the you don't use a brush most of the time.
Yeah.
What do you use? Well, I know. Tell our listeners what you use.
I use a palette knife because it's easy to clean.
Now this one is not palette knife. This is what?
Now this is acrylic and watercolor on canvas.
Uh-huh.
This big painting, 24 by 36.
So the texture, you can see right off, it's quite different than the other.
Yeah, there's smoother, yeah.
But tell us a little bit what this painting
is.
That's
one day I had a dream. My dream, I was painting on the beach, and all those masters and their muse standing there.
The muse. The muse, the artistic muse, right?
Yeah, the muse of the masters. See, you can recognize some of them in the Van Gogh or Monet's painting.
Well, the media really fits the dreamlike atmosphere in that painting.
And this is...
This is a small painting, 9 by 12.
Blue, green, and white.
Yeah,
and
it's again a palette knife painting here. And those flowers, they're very, very thick. I sculpture them almost like a three-dimensional.
Seeing the painting, the paint is thick, thickly applied.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't always get that on these photographs, but in person and in some of the photographs you can see
they're like a half inch thick.
Well, not a half inch, maybe
half inch thick, like that.
A half inch?
Mm-hmm.
It looks almost like whipped cream here.
The only trouble is that they take a long time to dry.
Now, this is on a mirror or on glass?
It's on the glass.
This is also on glass.
This on the glass and with a knife.
Uh-huh. Well, the painting, we're sitting right next to that painting.
It is Neil's favorite.
Well, it's one of my favorite paintings. I do like it.
Uh-huh.
You've really nailed painting boats, I will say that. I really like these fishing
Actually, you
boats.
Think about it, both of them very simple. But they're more interesting than house or car.
These are more atmospheric, these paintings.
Yeah.
Well, I like, you know, that painting in particular uses...
Oh, this is fabulous.
Now tell us how this is painted.
This one was painted between two sheets of acetate.
So it's between two pieces of acetate. Is this a reverse painting?
Not really. Yeah, well, could be if you look at the other side.
So
it's in between two sheets. So from one side is positive, another side is the reverse side.
These are two cranes, in case you haven't figured that out yet.
Yeah, there's two cranes.
You know, a lot of these...
This is an amazing painting. It reminds me of those fossils, you know, like those ancient...
Yeah, I like the color. I like the color of that one.
But they're just really brilliant.
Three pigs swimming.
Yeah, this one day I read a story said in some city in China, they had this competition for pigs to swim.
A competition?
Swimming competition for pigs. I thought, I never thought a pig could swim. So I thought, okay, what happened if I put them in the water?
Oh, I didn't
I tried, tried, so I just, okay.
Well, that one's smiling in the front. He's having a good time. He's really
yeah,
enjoying
it. Yeah, that's pretty amazing.
You know, in the book, we tried to match up paintings with the chapter, the preceding chapter. So each one of these paintings, or many of them, I'd say the majority, there is some link. And a lot of times you'll have to sit and kind of figure out, well, how does this painting reflect the chapter that I just read?
Yeah.
Now, this one in particular had to do with brain function, the chapter before. And this is actually a very impressionistic painting of the path that led up to T.D. Lingo's brain lab. And it was a dirt path that wound up the mountain. And you can see a tree there and the forest on the left. So, you know, your style is very impressionistic at times, where if you don't know what you're looking at, you'd think maybe it's just, you know, abstract. But
a bunch of colors.
Yeah.
Yeah. You took me to that
like
brain lab a few times. Again, this I intended to paint the puppies, but it turned out to be like a circle and dots.
Circle and dots. Well, this reminded me of neurons and axons and dendrites. So that's what we called this painting, axon and dendrites. And again, it relates to the chapter. This is oil on canvas.
Yeah, oil on canvas.
Yeah.
I like the color composition. So
I think what's remarkable about your painting, and of course, you know, we live together, so I see all the things that you do. Your styles, like for example, that painting, the style of that painting is remarkably different from this one. So it could be two different artists, and you do lots of different styles.
No, because I think a true artist is not someone who find or hold a few technique or style, but the one who can do anything he wants to at any moment. You know, if he feels like it, that's the true artist. Always looking for something new, something different. Always try to express his hurt or his deepest feeling at that moment. That's what I'm trying to do.
Well, I think that, you know, this book is about creativity.
Yeah.
And I see you as a very creative person. And the one thing that I think is remarkable about the work that you do is that you really don't care about
the result.
Well, no, you don't. Well, you're not painting to sell paintings.
No.
You're more interested.
I sell painting, but I'm not a painting for selling, you know. I'm painting to express myself. I'm painting to have fun. But I see those paintings as a byproduct of my explore and my experiment and my experience. So they're just byproduct of my learning and growing process. So that's why I sell them, because we have no place to put. If we have enough storage room, I would keep them all.
We would need a warehouse to store all the paintings that we have here. Our basement is full. It's absolutely full of paintings.
I like a fish in general, but this kind of fish is especially interesting.
The angelfish.
Yeah, they have such interesting shape and the color, and they're so cheerful.
And this is
Poppy.
This is Poppy's. This is from a
Poppy's in the garden. It's from my garden series.
It almost looks like watercolor.
Yeah, sometimes.
So how do you get the wash effect?
Yeah, you use knife and you crossing the canvas very lightly, you can get that almost look like watercolor. See, I'm trying. Sometimes I try to make my oil like watercolor. And I don't know why. I just feel like you're supposed to be able to know your medium so well that you can imitate any other medium, you know?
Here's Urfi and Chloe looking at one of your paintings.
Yeah.
Oh, that composition is great. Two boats, two dogs.
Oh. Well, tell us, since the book is really about the creative process, let's talk a little bit about creativity. How do you keep, you're constantly painting. How do you keep this energy level at such a high, intense?
Well,
you never seem to get tired of painting.
I know, because, I sleep a lot and I dreaming a lot. I think that I see that as recharging, so when I get up, sometimes I cannot wait to get up to paint because I feel like my energy, so much energy inside of my body, I have to let them out so they can flow through my body.
So sleep, do you think sleep is an important part of creativity?
Yes, it's repair your body, but also recharge your mind and nerve. Nurture your spirit somehow, sometimes I got tired during the day, I have to take a nap or something. Otherwise, I just cannot go on. I don't paint when I feel my energy too low, because then they shows in your work. They don't have that kind of...
Well, this is different.
Yeah, that's...
Is this in Venice, or where is this supposed to be?
That's, that's kind of... water mixed oil with the ink on canvas.
So you're using ink on canvas?
You can use ink on canvas and you can use a kind of oil. You can use ordinary oil too, but in order to mix with the ink, those water, what is called water soluble oil,
water soluble
or water mixable oil, they are best. Yeah.
Talk a little bit about dreaming in painting. Because I understand what you're saying about sleep, but how does dreams fit into the creative process?
Since I was a little child, I always have this vivid dream. I can close my eyes, still see what I saw in the dream. But I remember a few years, about 10 years ago, I had that specific dream. I flied.
The out-of-body kind of remote viewing dream.
Yeah, out-of-body experience.
Yeah.
After that, everything is just more vivid, more clear. I see those flowers in my dream. So when I wake up, I try to catch up.
This is a skier going downhill.
Yeah, that's, during the Winter Olympic, I think.
A little bit of Leroy Newman.
That's right.
2010.
Yeah. The style, too. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I think in Canada,
not just
that's
the subject, really.
Olympic.
The style is very.
Yeah.
But I think Julia's more energetic in a sense than she's looser than he is.
Oh, loose, yeah, definitely. It's really the whole painting is moving, not just the skier.
But this, this is something I sort of had to acclimate to in terms of Julia's paintings, in that she was so loose in her style, and allowed
that
you.
That is great.
Now, you know what these are? These are these little tiny orange, this is in the winter, and these are the seed pods, and they're about a half an inch big.
And they're almost translucent. and they're shrink a little bit.
Yes, this is
so
the light.
You see the little wrinkles on them.
They look like little orange raisins, yeah. But they're only about half an inch big. And this is the photograph.
Is it reflected light?
The light is passing through these things.
Oh, okay.
And so if the sun is behind them, they have this orange hue to them.
Again, this 18 by 24 is part of my garden series. I like a winter garden because nobody there.
Now, this is acetate.
This is wonderful. This
is a garden too, actually. This garden too.
Those are roses and lily pads.
Was the preceding one acetate or what was that?
No, that was canvas.
Okay.
This painting is about a third as big as the last one.
Yeah, this small painting.
And this is acetate or glass?
Yeah, acetate.
Yeah, and this, for all practical purposes, it's an abstract painting, but it's really lily pads in the front and roses.
Roses behind. Yeah.
Yeah.
And some of the roses follow into the water too. It's funny.
You can see the stems on the right.
Yeah, that's the day we sat there and looked at others. So that's pretty good. Yeah, those are the trees.
What series do you call this, Julie?
We call it Strength.
Strength.
See,
is the name of the painting.
No, I mean
I don't know. I don't know the name.
Painting?
Yeah, you said that this is your garden paintings?
It's not.
Oh,
okay.
Some of the paintings are from the Botanic Gardens.
Okay. I think this is the tree in the garden too, but I don't know the name of the tree.
It just seemed to convey the sense of strength, you know, because of the roots. You've got a very strong kind of root base to that tree. So
this looks like a Mondrian kind of painting here.
Mondrian? He's the guy who does the geometric things.
Yeah, but when he started out, he did stuff that he had a tree that was like carved almost. Oh. It looked like it was done with a knife.
This is ink and oil on canvas?
This oil and the ink, yeah. Again, this...
Oh, it wasn't ink and oil? It was oil and ink.
Oil and the ink. Ink and oil. What is the difference?
I think it's a bluebird.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, I like this painting a lot. It's this one really is very Chinese.
See, they're so simple, the birds, you know, just a few strokes, but you know,
that's so amazing.
This
it's
kind of painting is like you have to practice.
I was just
a lot.
Thinking the same thing. Economy of means, and kind of a meditative.
This is sort of I painted myself walking on the stream. Yeah.
Well, you see the reflection of the sun, but you don't actually see the sun. And I see a boat in the distance.
Yeah.
Is that a sailboat that you painted there? Or
because
is that
actually just... I painted a little bit of sky, see?
Yeah.
Only about a half inch sky. And everything else is in the water.
Yeah. It's.
Well, it's almost as if the sun has just set and there's still a gleam on the...
You think?
I don't know.
It's well, if the sun set, you wouldn't see the yellow.
But that one was painted with a brush.
Just a...
This is on a mirror.
I'm not crazy about this.
Oh, painting. I love this painting. See, this is why I had to edit this book, because she didn't have she's too close to a lot of these. I think this is a wonderful painting. But it's done on a mirror.
Mm.
It's done on the surface of a mirror. So when you look at the painting, you can't tell from looking at this photograph, but there are portions that... You see the pure reflection of the mirror coming out front, and it adds this very...
Well, it's an interesting composition. Look, the three boats are tied together almost.
And almost
you
like
can almost
you look
like see the lines.
Yeah.
Oh, this is lovely, this painting.
Oh. Aspen here in the fall.
You know, Julia, some of them seem really in focus, even though they're still impressionistic paintings. They're really tightly constructed with the...
I like impressionist, which doesn't care about the composition. You know, they paint anything they can. I'm more concerned about my painting get it to be look pretty.
Now,
not necessarily look pretty, but it's look right. When I say right, I mean, you know, my principle of composition, which is irregularity. That's the only rule I followed. You know, like I find those flowers, no two flowers should be in the same position, same light, same color, same size. You know, everyone should have their own individuality. You know, because that reflects my idea of the world. Each one of us is unique individual. no two leaves are the same, so I don't paint them as same. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
And it's also very convenient because you don't have to worry about being
being
perfect. In other words, you're not trying to match something to some preconceived notion.
Yeah.
Now this looks like watercolor, but it's actually acrylic on canvas, isn't it?
Acrylic on canvas.
I like your initials on the on the lower right hand corner.
She has a unique signature, I'll say that.
Yeah.
Now this was another one that you kind of dismissed this painting. And you were ready to toss it. And I said, no.
This is one of my test piece. You know, I was experimenting with minimal stroke.
It's a very minimalist,
minimalist
type of thing.
Yeah. But
and this is very different. The next one is
this is more complicated than that one.
This is at the Botanic Gardens again.
How big was this one, Julie?
This in Botanic Garden, this knife.
No, how big is the painting he wants
18
to
by 24.
I like the the shadows are these different colors. They're purple and brown, and I really like the coloring of the shadows in this particular one.
Are those flowers up there on the top left? They look really solid.
Yeah, those are trees, the leaves, not the flower.
This is
a gardener. That's one day I walk in the garden, I saw this gardener, take care of the flowers.
This is at the Botanic Gardens.
I take a picture of you. I'm a painter. And she said, don't take my face. So she bent down, I took the picture of her head.
Yeah, do you see that? That's
so I come back.
It's a woman working. She's digging in the garden.
Yeah,
it's pretty easy to see.
Yeah.
She said, okay, but not my face.
I like the architecture in the background, too. Oh, wow.
I like the perspective of this, you know?
I think this was what this chapter was, appreciate the beauty of ordinary things or something like that.
Yeah. Since this pod, if you look at it, they are so simple, so ordinary, but they can make such a...
Or might be coral.
Magnificent.
Might
presence.
Be little coral polyps.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does look...
But it is pots, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But look at here. They look like, it's such an ordinary thing and show you extraordinary beauty.
They're all going, ooh...
I really like that. After I finish this, I'm going to keep this.
What's the medium here?
This, is the oil and the ink.
This is a small painting. Is that correct?
No, this is a 12 by 16.
Oh.
Not too small. Yeah. This I try to...
What kind of flowers are these?
Those are peonies.
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 See, Neil, I don't know the name of the flowers I'm painting. I don't know the name of the trees or the leaves.
You did say
because
peonies.
For me,
she said, yeah,
peonies. For me, they're just colors and shapes, so it doesn't matter.
Is this ink and oil?
There's the ink and watercolor on rice paper.
On rice paper. So
yeah. Those are my sketches. I have thousands of those. I use... ink and watercolor sketch on rice paper.
But I like
to try to figure out what I'm going to paint next, the composition, everything.
Well, people should know that you've painted many, many, many
thousands
of paintings. Yeah. So what do they say? You have to do something for 10,000 hours. I think you've put in...
No, because I figured I never went to art school.
Because people are going to want to know. Some people don't understand what this is. These are leaves on the surface of a pond.
Yeah.
And in the background, you see the reflection of the tree branches. So it's winter, and all the leaves have fallen off the trees into the pond, into the water. And then you see the bare leaves reflected in the surface
this
of the water.
This entire painting is water, is the reflection of the trees and the leaves on the top of the water.
Yeah. Okay, something very different. This is a glass painting.
Mm-hmm.
Is a reverse glass painting.
This reverse painting, yeah, you paint the other side of glass.
8x10, a very small painting.
Small painting.
But this, when you say reverse, what does that mean?
Reverse painting means you paint the one side of glasses and you look at it from the other side.
So you have to know, you have to kind of plan in your mind what you want to be on the top of the painting.
When you paint
the, that's what goes down first, as opposed to a normal painting, where what's on top of the painting is what you paint last.
Yeah. I think this is good training for your brain, and also for your future. So now, when even I'm painting those, you know, not a reverse painting, I'm still thinking, what I see first, I paint the first.
We have to explain this one. These are giant, giant lily pads on a pond. And in the background, you see the reflection of an apartment building, which is upside down. You see the balconies of the apartment building?
Yeah.
That's the reflection. And then the lily pads are floating on the surface of the water.
Yeah, so see, you see the contrast of the different shape.
You've There's got circles and then
rectangular, yeah.
Yeah.
And with the circle, yeah. I thought that was very interesting. This, again, is a very simple painting.
Another older acrylic on canvas.
Yeah.
And
try to catch the essence of the flowers with fewer strokes.
What did Bobby say when we were doing the commentary for the other film? He says, your paintings are often like Rorschach, right? And so different people are going to have very different interpretations looking at your paintings because you leave a lot to the imagination.
Yes.
I mean, you're seeing something specific, but
a
stranger looking at your painting will say,
see something else.
You know, what is that? Is that, you know?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow, this looks different. This looks like it's not even in this country.
It isn't.
No, this is the Mang yellow in China.
This is like a color version of what you would see in a typical Chinese landscape painting.
I love the foreground there. All the kind
this,
of icy
this particular
cliffs
mountain.
And I can see just the suggestions of little houses there.
Yeah, you can imagine anything behind because I didn't paint that much.
Of course, you
much,
wonder how the people get to the local village if they live way up there on the,
no,
the
just,
well, look, there's a bus. Do you see the bus on the road?
Oh, all right.
And this is the Li River in China. It's the most beautiful river. You know,
this is also
there,
China, too, right?
Yeah, because those stones and
the mountains are
the
very...
The mountain just like suddenly... get up from the
very,
place.
They're very steep mountains.
Yeah.
Right. I've seen pictures of them. I've seen photos of those.
Yeah, they don't
some
look
of
like
them
anything.
Are individual, just individual stones standing there.
Right.
In group, you know. It's funny. I mean, they're separated on the bottom. They're not connected, but separated on the bottom, and they just grow up.
That's nice.
Now, this was in, tell the story of how you came to paint these wine bottles.
This one time a gallery owner invited me to have a show in her gallery, and she also sells wines and hosts weddings. So I painted something for that particular for that show, and this I decided.
Was this the woman that found your paintings outside your apartment?
No, this is another one. I was very lucky. I got so many invitations when I was in Missouri, just began to paint. And this one of the women.
This is the cover of the book here.
It's a cover book. I really like the light.
I like the light too.
Yeah. I just decided I'm going to paint the light. In order to make that light lighter, I used the purple. Tree.
I like that it's the complementary colors, and they really, those tree trunks really stand out. They almost look like coconut trees, but purple.
You know, actually, I never really studied art theory or history. I know nothing. You know, Neil teach me later, but I really, a lot of time, just gut feeling, you know?
Okay.
The complementary color just looked good together.
This is... This is downtown Mars.
No, actually, I painted the downtown Columbia.
Looks like downtown Mars to me. I don't know. This is, I think, Experiment was the name of this chapter, and this is this painting up very appropriately.
Oh my God, downtown had You know that the downtown, that street, particular street, the 9th Street, had so many odd shape of the shop and the colors. I said, how can I catch up with that?
Is this on acetate or canvas?
Acetate.
This is another acetate painting.
Mm-hmm.
And this is another...
I did that painting in 10 minutes. That's why they had...
This is a reverse painting on glass.
This reverse painting in glass. I gave this to Mom in her house.
Oh, Mom has it.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Right. Roses, of course, in case you're wondering what this is. But those, I think that's roses, fairly obvious.
Yeah.
I like these little flecks of blue just at the bottom. You know, mm-hmm. They really glow in this.
Actually, this reverse painting is different from some later ones I did. This painting, if you look at it from the other side, you see nothing.
Oh, that's right, because a lot of the reverse paintings you can look at from the
one side or
through
another.
The glass, or you could look at it at the painted side, and they make sense on either way.
Oh, so you can go light to dark. You go light to dark on that. Is that correct?
Yeah. This is ink drawing on
rice paper.
Yeah, I really like. I just like the whole feeling of it. So I save it. I have so many thousands of those sketches, and most of them I just didn't care, threw away or put in the box. But this one I really like.
Now one of the things that is about you is that you paint very fast. You. Very different from me, and I think probably Sky. We're very meticulous, and we just kind of plod through things. But you capture this kind of spontaneous, kid-like enthusiasm.
Yeah, I don't really paint the, details. I paint the, my feelings, and I paint the essence of the things. That's my justification.
What did you? Who was it that said, Julia is more about the process?
I said that. It seems like it's you in the paint.
Yeah,
you're
yeah.
in the paint, you know,
yes.
and you're in the... In some way, it's all part... You're part of that painting.
This was for the wine shop also?
Yeah, that's what I did.
And this is on glass?
On mirror.
On a mirror.
Mm. I found a mirror is very good to paint the glass items or paint the water. Because the reflection.
Oh, because you're painting items that have their own inherent reflectivity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We're strangely silent all of a sudden.
Well, but is the, like in the white part, that's all transmitted through to us. So, but you don't have opaque white in there, right?
I don't know.
Had a white.
You did
yeah,
have
did
you have white?
Yeah.
Now
this is a part of the mirror.
This is part of Julia's 95-yard-long mural called Dream, which was highlighted in the other part of the DVD. So this is a 2-foot-wide section of that painting. I really like the ducks.
Now you have a painting that's almost like that, or is this a segment of...
This is a segment of the mural.
You know, I think the secret to paint the water like a water is... Or dark like dark, whatever, without too much detail, is you feel it. You feel yourself. You imagine yourself, you are that water. You are that dark. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to describe it.
You're not painting something. You are something.
You feel you are that water,
mm-hmm.
so you feel like...
Are you serious?
I'm serious. You paint
I don't know if she was just, right.
No. If you look at those.
Well, artists say stuff like that, but
I don't know
if she was just saying.
If you feel that's you,
Yeah.
You move this way, that way. So that's how I paint it.
Yeah, well,
you know
don't move
I mean?
Into the microphone, please.
You move this way, that way. You know. When
you
feel blue, you feel yellow.
Now we call this what, Hong Kong sunrise?
Yeah, actually,
it was actually Pittsburgh.
I paint that.
Well, didn't you go to Vancouver or something?
No. Actually, we were listening to music. And that, I think that musician is from Pittsburgh.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the music is so beautiful and reminds you of sunrise. I didn't know what Pittsburgh was like. But after I listened to that music, I got it to paint that one.
These are lily pads?
Those are, yeah.
Lady or is that hat. My green hat there?
No, that's a lady
hat. You didn't go to Pittsburgh for a vacation then?
No, we didn't.
We're dreaming about it.
There's wildflowers, probably at the Botanic Gardens.
Yeah.
We have to say, we live just a few blocks from the Denver Botanic Gardens, which is 23 acres, and we walk through there almost every day. And
that's our daily routine.
It's our daily routine. Julia takes her camera every day, and we have 100 pictures after every walk. So
yeah, I think if I just close my eyes, paint the garden, I can paint hundreds of garden differently.
Well, do you think walking? Now we walk quite a bit. Do you think that as a that's an important component of component of remaining creative?
Yeah, well, walking, because walking is a sort of restore your energy and make you calm.
I think it reoxygenates your brain.
It's a kind of meditation.
Well, you use that too, Neil, when you go to write. Don't you write over there in the garden?
Yeah.
That's typical painting like a child.
People
would think this is done by some kindergartner.
No, I mean, this reminds me of, of traditional Chinese
painting?
Ink paintings.
Did you say this is on rice paper?
Yeah.
That's on rice paper, okay. Yeah.
And the good part about that kind of painting is if you're hungry, you can eat it.
No,
after
not
you're
really.
Done. But not providing you use non-toxic paint.
There's a garden,
okay,
too.
I like this.
It's a big one, 18 by 24.
I'm really fond of these garden paintings.
And you can see the trellises in the backyard.
See, you see the yellow and the purple.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. There is kind of a unity of
blue,
style in these.
Julia. Oh, there is purple there, too.
Purple. Uh-huh.
Yeah, there's a section in the Botanic Gardens which is all South African flowers. Did you know that South Africa has the greatest variety of flowers of any country in the world?
Wow.
That's what I said. Wow. Did not know
this
that.
This democracy mall. Wow.
From the dream mural,
yeah,
again.
In China in late 70s, early 80s, those people put their painting and their statement about democracy on this wall near Tiananmen Square.
Are those people on bicycles? Bicycles?
No, that's somebody's painting.
I mean the background. I see all the people and then circles. Are those bicycles?
No, that's a painting, Neil.
Oh, they're standing next to their painting.
No, this whole thing is a painting.
Oh.
The people in the bicycle, that's a painting. That's on the wall.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, you could see that's my painted part of the wall.
Here's roses on a triangular trellis, kind of like the Eiffel Tower shape kind of trellis there.
Well, they're beautiful.
That's in the garden. You know, those roses, they actually, they're like sculpture. They are half inches high.
I don't think they're half inch,
or at least
an eighth of an inch. But that's for a painting.
No.
That's still very thick.
That's very thick, Neil. You didn't see that.
If you look at paintings from the Renaissance, I mean, there's no thickness to them at all. They're perfectly flat. Whereas Julia's oil paintings.
No, I like the texture.
I mean, yeah, they're very textural.
But this is totally flat.
This is ink and watercolor on rice paper, right?
Yeah. Did you see those balls? The balls are moving. See them moving? That's how do you paint them like that? You just imagine yourself moving. So when you paint, you're literally moving around. Do you see sometimes?
Yeah.
I paint like this.
I know.
Crazy. Yeah,
yeah.
Like I'm dancing or something.
Well, you know, I mean, in school, they're constantly telling kids to sit down and quit moving.
No.
Right? Mm-hmm. And if, Julia had a teacher, she wouldn't get anything done. She'd be chained to her chair. So there's a freedom of.
I like this painting.
Now, we have to explain what this is, because a lot of people don't get it.
Me sitting there, meditate.
But you're in front of a waterfall. There's a concrete
waterfall,
and water is falling down the concrete wall. It's a waterfall, and then into the water. And you can see the foam where the water hits the base of the stream
the wall,
or the pond.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And there's some kind of foam to the right of Julia's head there as well.
See the steel of the person and the rapid movement of the water.
There's a contrast between the movement of the water.
Oh, I like the freedom on this painting.
These are lotus
really
flowers.
This painting is done, without any preparation, just done in 15 minutes, less than 15 minutes.
Don't tell people how fast you paint, Julia.
No. What I mean
let them
was
think
this,
that you spend
no,
weeks.
This painting is.
Or at least I'm, charge them by the hour.
No, I'm saving this painting. All my painting done very quickly, and on my most favorite ones, the ones I keep. I keep them. See, mm-hmm. This was relatively slow compared with the first one. And I don't like this that much.
With the one, the preceding one?
And the preceding
no,
one.
I like this.
That one, just like so much movement and
It looks
and
like
energy.
A miniature. It looks like the boat is a miniature boat.
But the feeling of this one is very peaceful and very serene.
Yeah, I know.
And what is the size of this painting here?
This painting is 9x12.
So it's a small painting. Mm-hmm. And that kind of boat, you see that kind of boat in Asia a lot. That's like a covered fishing boat.
This is on glass.
Oh, this is a glass painting.
Yeah. This is a reverse painting.
Uh-huh. I swear this was from a photograph that I'd taken in Wyoming, but you say
no, it's not true. I never been to Wyoming. Oh, I've been to Wyoming, but I didn't see this.
The fence is so...
This is in Missouri. You can see, uh-huh. You know, outside of Columbia, you see this kind of thing everywhere. Not everywhere, but you see those kind of things.
What about the fence, Sky?
Well, the perspective just goes so far in the distance.
Oh, so you think of
Wyoming. I would think Wyoming.
Red morning glories, of which I don't think there are such things as red morning glories, actually, are there?
I don't know, not being a botanist.
So, but this is purely an expression of Julia's vivid imagination. Now you do have an extraordinary imagination. I know many times we've been in bed late at night, and you start pointing up at the ceiling, and you begin describing.
That's not imagination.
Well, I know it's not your imagination.
I really see things. I don't know why, and I don't understand why can you not see them.
You definitely perceive into another dimension.
Oh, I like this.
Yeah, I like this too. This
and you know, there's a lot.
Especially if you have glass shot, because this 18x24 canvas.
If you look
closely, you will see different colors, different shapes of colors. It's just great.
Well, most TVs have a zoom, so you could zoom into any of these pictures.
It looks like a city of boats. It's just like a huge number of boats.
It's a port.
I can even see buildings in the background.
You know,
see on the
right.
Center right? It looks like a red building.
Yeah.
And
last year, we went to Canada in Vancouver. We see all kinds of group. Both
now this painting, you can really see the thickness of the paint.
Yeah.
Yeah, I this is so cool.
This small painting, that's why you see, because a big painting, you need to take a big picture to see the details.
I like the colors, the way the colors, that yellow is so vivid, and the red and orange, it's just,
See, that's the advantage of using knife, because you can just mix color on the canvas.
Now, this was funny, because Julia, she didn't like she thought there was too much yellow
in this. Was this mirror again?
This painting on mirror, yeah.
But to me, this says, this is...
Mirror and
this is like an evening light, like you're in a restaurant or...
Oh, sure.
You know, where the light is very filtered.
Because it's very warm.
It's very warm, right? And,
and it's very... I think the mirror is so liquid. It looks almost molten, you know, in that...
Yeah, I think that the light in the mirror somehow... affect the painting, the quality of the
Now, one of your few monochromatic paintings. This is actually not a black and white photograph. The painting was black and white,
yes,
right?
Yes, not really black and white, but it's, it's different shade between black and white, you see.
You understand what this is a painting
yes.
of?
Yes.
Turtles and
no, that's
like that.
A sea wave.
Oh, I thought it was a turtle.
Yeah.
Okay, hold on a second. Go. All right. So, what were we saying about this? We just took a break.
This is Xi Wei.
Even though people watching the video won't know that we just took a break. Another monochromatic street scene.
What city is this?
Shanghai. That's in the Nanking Boulevard, Shanghai.
So it's a real place.
No, just one day I saw an old photo of Shanghai. And that's my impression.
Oh, so this was a painting of a black and white photo.
No, I couldn't. I just saw a photo on newspaper somehow, old newspaper. And I never can find that photo again. That's just my impression. I just remember it's kind of gloomy or something.
Here's another Botanic Gardens again.
I know what. These remind me of like David Hockney's painting. He's a British painter.
Mm-hmm.
He's really very bright paintings. Just like very much like in a similar kind of.
What's interesting about this is you see the shadow of trees on the sidewalk, even though you don't see the trees in the painting, because the trees are off to the side of the frame here, but their shadow is still...
They're looming way over the sidewalk.
That's right. And there, I have to explain that these are two people walking through a cherry blossom grove, and Julia painted this after we saw a movie called Dolls, a Japanese movie.
It's very moving.
And the two people were bound together with a red rope, and you can see the red rope kind of draping behind the woman in this particular painting. But I really love this painting because you can see the falling cherry blossoms. You know, in Japan in the spring, the cherry blossoms just fill the air, and they like, you know, like cotton balls in the air and so
it's
on.
Like
this is so different.
Yeah.
This one.
Yeah, very different. A very large painting, isn't it?
It's a 30 by 40. It's one of my largest paintings.
Well, there's the guitar on the wall. See, that's in the painting there.
That's Neil's guitars.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the red guitar that's next to the black guitar that's also
on
there?
A real yin-yang thing with this first...
Yeah, it is. Well, that's what the guitar looks like.
I like the shadow on the wall, and I like the shape of the guitars. I thought, you know, Neil is such a good musician, I better paint some of his instrument.
Magnolias?
Mm-hmm.
Is this oil on canvas?
Beautiful.
Yeah, oil on canvas. This small one, 9 by 12.
See, that's so funny. The other painting looks smaller on the screen, but it's actually... six times the size of this painting.
Yeah.
So, but that's kind of one thing that you're sort of stuck with when you're putting paintings on a TV screen.
This was painted with a brush because I want to, you know, paint the softness of the flower.
Oh, certainly. Yeah. There's very little texture to the surface of this painting.
Yeah.
One thing. I mean, I think that's one thing that keeps your creativity going is that you. You switch from one thing to another.
You keep changing, yes.
You don't
paint the same way or the same subject or the same technique, you know, or the same tools or the same surface.
Well, you allow yourself to be free of any constraints.
Yeah.
Either financial constraints.
Thanks for you.
Yeah, thanks to me, right.
Or
by expectations of customers. Or preconceived notions.
No, because I'm not painting for anybody. You like it, fine. Means we have similar taste. If you don't, so what? You know?
Well, right. I think, too, I mean, it sounds like that's a luxury that you have. That you paint for yourself and you paint by your own rules.
Standard.
But I think there also is something to be said that if you decide that's how you're going to live your life, you know, that kind of opportunity is made more available to you.
Exactly.
Rather than you don't kind of cover yourself with this, well, I've got to make some money this month and so I have to paint commercially.
I think you know, my father used to say, 谋事在人，成事在天.
Did you get that, Sky? Would you repeat that, please?
Miss, could you speak more clearly?
Miss,
get those marbles out of your mouth,
miss,
please.
You know, Miss, life is has meaning. You know, we all have our own position in this world. All we need to do is not too much concern about what kind of reward we are going to get or what kind of so-called success we are going to achieve, but focus on what we want to do, what we love to do, and do your best, do your very best, and improve yourself every day. You know, perfect yourself. That's what you can do. And leave the rest to God or universe. You know, that's what my father said. I truly believe that. And so far, so good.
So far, so good.
And I did sell a lot of paintings.
Now, this is a boat on the snowbank.
Oh, I really like this one.
I do, too.
This is the one on plexiglass.
This is plexiglass.
Yeah.
For those who didn't understand what Julia just said.
And this is oil. This is a kind of oil.
This kind of oil.
This is a kind of oil never dry.
This kind of oil never dry.
So I paint between two plexiglass.
So I
so
paint
they are between. White. Neil.
I just want to make sure people understand.
They are white paintings. They never dry.
Oh, Julia, stop it.
Okay.
Oh, this is good.
Yeah, Botanic Garden palette.
Botanic Garden.
Yeah, I do like this one a lot.
Yeah.
This is, again, we're back to palette knife. You're back to palette knife.
Palette knife, oil on canvas. Yeah, that's my major.
Now, Julia, style. Would you comment on which paintings you think look best, like you would say to someone, you should really see this one in person to really...
No, I cannot say that because each painting is different. Each person is different. We all have different taste.
Well, that's what I, you know, I've come to expect that if I like a painting, many people won't like that painting. So, but I think that's the thing about Julia's work is that, you know, some paintings appeal to some people and other paintings appeal to different people.
You know, because you said, okay, I paint as myself, but myself is not a fixed person, never change. It's someone flexible, changing how many facets,
I think that's the
yeah.
I think that's the...
And you have different mood, different feelings, different emotions. At any moment, you have different energy level. You have different desire to express. That's why... And my painting are different. You know, each one is one of a kind. And I'm proud of that.
I think a lot of people do something and it's successful or, you know, it's admired by somebody else. And so they just keep trying to repeat that
because
success.
Because they try to appeal those market or customer or some patron.
But I think there's an internal
you know,
thing.
Collector or, you know, collector. But, you know, I don't want to fix myself in one box, you know?
This is oil.
I really like
oil
this.
Between again, two sheets of acetate.
Yeah, this is white. This is the oil never dry. You have to heat set to let the oil dry.
This is between two 8 by 10 inch sheets of acetate, correct?
No, it's the plexiglass.
Oh, this is on plexiglass.
Yeah. And this you know, those
between
kind of
two sheets of plexiglass?
Yeah, those kind of painting, I keep them because...
So if I were to
they're
pick...
never dry.
This painting is still a wet painting
yeah,
to this day.
Yes, still wet painting to
because
this
day. Because it's between two sheets of plastic.
Yeah. Eventually, they probably will cut some reaction with the plastic glass, but right now, they're still wet.
Oh, I see.
It's been a year, they're still wet.
This is a waterfall at
this
the gardens.
This is the gardens, 18 by 24. Palette knife. It's my, you know...
You know, Monet is known for his gardens, and we don't have our own gardens, but... We do at the Botanic Gardens.
Yeah, even better.
So that's right. We probably have more acreage than Monet has. You know?
Yeah, one day I said, Neil, I wish we have the garden Monet had. Neil said, we have one.
Right, and we don't have to pay anyone to keep it up.
I think.
Oh, my goodness. This is just like the, similar to the color.
The cover,
painting.
But it's different take. Yeah.
Yeah, sure. The colors are different. Mm-hmm. Chloe, you're in between Julie and the microphone there. Chloe, do you have any
comments? Before I came to Colorado, I never seen so many aspen trees. So I was fascinated by it. I planted so many aspens.
Right.
And in the different day, different light, they look different.
You know, they live in a colony.
Yeah.
Aspens live in a colony.
Yeah, those yeah, they are all look genetically together. Related yeah, they to all, each other. They're like
those
brother,
my
sister.
Parents.
Really? Mm-hmm. This is Julia's mom and dad.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, I have...
Honor you know, your parents was the chapter, I
when
think.
When I was little, I thought everybody's parents are as good as mine. But when I grow up, I realize how lucky I have.
Are you saying that other people have rotten parents?
No, no, no. No, but
shame
my parents are uniquely good. You know, they both devoted their life to their patients, their students.
They
both are doctors and later... teaching in university, in medical school.
83. So this is on glass. This is palette knife on glass?
Yeah, this on glass.
Now before you were remarking that this didn't have the depth of field, and you would have liked to have the more blurring in the background, but I kind of like the detail that you have in the background on this one. I also like the complementary colors of the yellow building really adjacent to the covered boat in the foreground. Well, that's not complementary, but the blue and yellow would be complementary colors, right?
Mm-hmm. There's a little bit of green, red, blue, yellow.
Now, this is the one that this has the depth of field that you were referring to.
Yeah.
That it gets fuzzier as you get into the background.
I like that you see a lot of fuzzy flowers. I didn't paint it. But somehow they show up there. I don't know how I...
Well, in photographs, typically, if that you'll have things in the foreground that are very sharp in focus, and then you have things in the background which are less in focus, and you've kind of recreated that type of effect here in this painting.
No, actually, in modern photo, they tend to evenize the field. But if you're standing the real in standing nature, you see fuzzier, especially when you're nearsighted. You know.
Oh yeah.
So,
I would agree with that.
Sometimes you think you know the Monet. I think the impressionists
really
probably, especially later age, they probably all had bad eyes. That's why they're painting.
Well,
so,
Monet was
so
very
impressive.
Nearsighted.
That's what I said.
Yeah. This one of Neil's favorites.
Yes. I insisted that we keep this painting.
What's that orange thing in the front?
That was the vase.
Oh. Okay. And this... God. This one was painted with a brush. I like most of my paintings.
Is this a large painting?
No, this... I think it's a 10 by 16.
Oh, okay.
It's a strange shape of painting.
Sounds like the UPS truck outside. That's okay. We're trying to do a real commentary here in real life, in the real world.
Neil, I really like the different colors on the boat.
Well, I do see the curvature of the earth here, Sky.
Okay. I was wondering whether it was just me.
You know what's cool about this is you've got a big building in the background that appears small. And then you've got the little flowers that are as big as the barn. That's right. And it's just the perspective and your point of view. So, you know, it's not that flowers are small and buildings are big. This is just...
Depends on how you see it and where you are.
Where
you
stand
in
relationship to things.
Yeah.
Except that flowers seem exceptionally creamy.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, there's your canvases.
Oh, finally. They arrived.
So we're looking at... Okay, so here... So this is on plexiglass you were explaining?
This is plexiglass, and it's not clear. It's a dark gray.
Dark gray?
Gray plexiglass, yeah. That's why they have those... You know, when you put a different color, they all had this mute effect.
Look at the window frame in the back in the background.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's so cool. I mean, that's what that is, right? Looks like a window, like a quartered window frame in a doorway.
I painted the window. I don't know.
It almost looks like a photograph. Yeah. I mean,
I don't remember I painted the window, though. I just remember I painted those flowers.
Did you paint on a photograph?
This is Neil's, bicycle in the backyard. You know, and there is one out, last fall, one morning, I walk out, I was looking for something to paint, and I look at this bicycle. There's interesting, all different circles, you know, different
each wheel looks unique, doesn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. Each wheel is unique.
What makes this? What makes it interesting is the imperfection of
the circle.
It's not a photograph of bicycles. It's a hand-drawn, same thing with these guitars. I mean, there's personality. Because they're not a perfect representation of anything, you know. It's reflecting.
No, actually, how you feel about things around you. You know, some people maybe have X-ray vision. I don't. I'm nearsighted, so a lot of things that I see is not a perfect shape.
Did you say X-ray vision?
Yeah.
You don't have X-ray. You mean?
No, I mean like you, like an
excellent. You mean excellent vision.
Excellent.
I thought you said X-ray vision.
X-ray.
This is on black plexiglass, the guitars, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this lilies in the garden. You know, this is the autumn garden, but I want to paint some blues, you know, make a more vivid color.
A very different rendering of, you know, I mean, the way that you apply paint here is very different from than what we've seen previous. This is very, Matisse kind of, you know, Matisse has got a very childlike, quick, you know, distorted sense of reality. And I see that in this painting.
I thought it resembled Disney.
Those one day I was trying to paint some pears. Seven pears outside. I tried to choose three to paint. But then I found that they're all different. So I like all of them. So I decided, okay, I'll just
paint them. The shadows are
great. I just paint them all. Yeah,
that's right. The elongated shadows.
Yeah, trying to paint the shadow.
Looks like
translucent.
They look like they're talking to each other, or they're birds.
Oh, yeah.
Birds sitting on a on a telephone wire.
Like my little budgies in the
cage. When you put them on there, you look at them, you know, they become alive to you.
They did. They look like they were living personalities. We call this crazy daisies, but it's really sunflowers, isn't
it? Yeah, I was trying to find the sunflowers, actually.
Is a sunflower a crazy daisy? That's the question.
Can you explain this painting a little bit?
This is on the blue plexiglass.
Blue plexiglass.
Yeah, that's why the background is blue. I didn't paint it.
They're sunflowers.
What is to explain? It looks like they're floating sunflowers.
Oh, I see.
You know, and really, like the faint images up at the top.
Yeah. Well, I can't go backwards because that'll.
Okay.
And this.
It's kind of after Monet, lily pads.
Yeah. But if you look at Monet's painting, you won't find anyone like mine.
I like this better than a lot of Monets that I've seen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm prejudiced, but
I'm not saying I'm painting better than Monet, but I take advantage of glass. This is painting on the glass.
Oh, is on glass?
Yeah, on glass.
Are you sure? Yeah. I thought this was on canvas.
No, this is on glass.
Oh, okay.
Well, this painting bought
about this one. This is actually a flat frog on acetate?
Acetate. It's between two sheets of acetate.
And what we're seeing is the shadow on the surface of the table underneath.
Yeah,
the shadow is not
interesting.
The shadow is really from the painting itself, and it's not, the shadow isn't painted on there.
No. But this flag, this is my new, you know, my recent painting between two acetate sheets. They are not, they are reverse painting in a way because you can look from both sides, they are different. Each side is unique.
Ah.
I thought that would be good to collect for somebody to collect those items. You can put them into an album and see them differently.
This is ink and watercolor?
Ink and watercolor on rice paper.
It's a very modern rendition of kind of a
minimal,
traditional.
Minimal.
Very minimalist.
Yeah, minimalist painting.
Number 96 by J.L.
Yeah, I can do, you know, I can do this.
8 by 10.
8 by 10.
8 by 10. But you've done hundreds and hundreds of these kinds of paintings.
No, I use them as sketch for my, you know, bigger painting. But some of them...
But I think they stand alone.
Yeah, I know. Some of them, I really like them. Even the finished painting, not as good as...
What are we looking at here? I mean, I know, but why don't you...
This is the street outside our house.
These are the trees on 11th Avenue.
Yeah, yeah. If you look at it from a particular angle, you see the tree standing like that.
Yeah.
I don't want to be a straight sign. Do you see the difference between the distance between the trees are different?
Mm.
And each tree have different colors.
Is this palette knife or brush?
This palette knife. But I like my some of them, that's very thin applied. The paint applied is very thin, but it's a palette knife.
This is a European port that we're looking at now.
This is the
we call
oil
it,
and ink.
Oil and ink.
Oil ink on canvas. That's a 14 by 18.
So, Julia, how do you thin out the oil again? You spread it really thin?
This
or do you use a
water
medium?
Water mixed.
Oh.
Oil. Yeah, oil.
Oh, okay.
Oh, it's water-soluble oil.
Okay.
Yeah, so you mix with the water.
Remarkable.
Almost like a watercolor.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't mastered it yet, but I'm still experimenting with it.
One of my favorite
That's
pictures
me.
Of Julia's.
I was mm-hmm. taking a photo of myself. See mm-hmm. that I was holding a camera
mm-hmm.
and try to find the right smile. And meanwhile, close my eyes and you like this.
I like this.
I don't
one.
Know why.
Flash. I did a little bit of modification in Photoshop, but I like the color. No, well, just to the colors.
Uh-huh.
I like the colors and the graininess of it. And I like, yeah, I mean, you look at the flash. There's just weird stuff happening there.
I was facing a mirror, trying to take a picture, and accidentally closed my eyes.
Ramon Kelly, world famous artist, really liked this painting.
I like that painting.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but
what,
it's
comment?
A simple painting.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I like this painting, too.
I like the simplicity of it, you know. It's a complementary color.
Look at the reflection of the boat in the foreground on the water. I mean, that's
mm-hmm.
that's so very cool. And the oar, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I find these paintings so much more pleasurable to gaze upon than photographs. I mean, there are photographs that I like, but there's something about them. Well, here's our very last photo, Julia at the bus stop in Seattle. And...
We were walking. That's the last spring in. We come back from Canada, and in Seattle, I was so tired of sitting there. I don't care.
We've been gone for 2 weeks.
Neil was side the street. I took a picture. I said, I don't care. I was so tired.